You're listening to a classic business podcast as heard on Classic 1027. 1027. This is Classic Business with Michael Avery on Classic 1027 in Johannesburg and Fine Music Radio in Cape Town.
Well, as we face the prospect of a 21-day lockdown, global stock markets were boosted by the Fed's pledge yesterday that it will run an open-ended asset purchase program, open the taps and keep them going amid the global coronavirus outbreak. Sentiment also lifted by news that Italy, which is the European epicenter for the coronavirus pandemic, has experienced a smaller daily increase in the number of new confirmed cases for a second consecutive day. Very interesting that, as well as news out of China and Hubei as well. We saw the JSE All Share in the day up 7.5% for 41,149 points. I was about to say 4,000 point move. It's a 2,882 point move, and we barely bat an eyelid at these things anymore, either up or down. Rob Towell, portfolio manager at Sasfin, and Simon Brown, founder of Just One Lap, have your view for the market. Chaps, I know that one green day doesn't signal a bottom, but if it did, it would be an admirable bottom to behold. Rob, what's the mood out there today?
I think if you take a look at global markets, it looks like it could be finally the bottom. We saw some buying come in over the last few days overseas, even though it's been quite volatile. And then today, obviously, you've seen a very big buying day coming. I think it's a bit more difficult in our market to pick a bottom. We're still just going into the lockdown, and we don't know how it's going to affect all the businesses in South Africa. So I think we're going to be very volatile still for the next month and a half, at least. Well, maybe we start to get some stability overseas.
Lockdown, Simon Brown, that's effectively what you've been doing along with your business partner on the Fat Wallet podcast, which you produce at home. So you're familiar with working from home, but a lockdown for an entire economy is something altogether different to comprehend. Just in terms of lost GDP daily, Hichu Pinar, who I'm going to be chatting to later, reckons it's about $6 billion a day. That's massive.
Michael, the numbers are absolutely staggering. And you're right. You know, I have worked from home my entire life, except for a 4-year stint at a bank. So I'm used to it. But it's still, my patterns are going to change. You know, I'm not going to be going out for dinner. I'm not going to have meet a friend for lunch and pop down to the gym or something. And that's money that's just evaporating from the economy. And I think that's what we're trying to, as investors and traders in the market, is try and comprehend, you know, just how bad it's going to ultimately be. You know, the lockdown decision, making a mistake, is the right decision. And certainly, you know, my sense is out there, and part of the move today was certainly the response to last night's Federal Reserve. I think also just the sense that our governments, you know, they're on as top of this as they can be. You know, it's just the proper crisis, and they're dealing it well. But the impact to the economy is going to be humongous. India just announced they're going into lockdown. That's a plus billion people. What we're all watching very closely is those numbers you mentioned in Italy. They're approaching the 2-week mark. Are we seeing it come down? Does this lockdown 3 weeks, or does it get extended, or perhaps reinstated at a later stage?
That is a big question here, Rob, whether or not this is going to come in several waves. We saw that with the Spanish flu in 1918. It came in 3 separate waves. So what happens, you go through a lockdown, you suppress the immediate spread, you then say, well, everyone, it's safe to come out of your homes and start interacting in large numbers again, and another outbreak occurs. Do we see patterns repeating? Do we anticipate that this time round?
It's difficult to tell. You know, we haven't seen a second wave yet in Wuhan. So China looks like that at the moment. They're still okay. But who knows? You know, maybe, you know, the type of measures that have been taken now will leave it to one wave. But really, it's, you know, it's a guess. We don't know. And also, we're going into winter. So, you know, we're going to try to suppress this in summer, where maybe we've got a better chance. But we're going into the winter season. So it's going to be very difficult to tell. But if we did come out and had another wave and had to go to a second lockdown, I mean, it's just disastrous for the economy. And it's a choice that probably has to be made and we have to do. But let's hope that it's only one wave.
very difficult fiscally for the government to come up with anything meaningful, Simon. I know Treasury is working to limit the fiscal deficit because it's going to be spending on all of these emergency projects and giving payment holidays on certain income tax receipts and pay as you earn and that kind of thing. It's doing that in a way, Dondo Mogajani quoted in Business Day today, that's going to be as fiscally neutral as possible. So it means it's going to have to stop spending elsewhere. But we still see the difficulty for the government right now is in the bond market, because we see it in the weekly issue today, those yields jumping. So it's becoming even more expensive for government to just do what it does without having to worry about COVID-19.
Absolutely. It was just, was it 4 weeks ago when Minister Mboweni delivered his budget, and it was a stellar budget, and the sense was that he had perfectly walked the tightrope. Unfortunately, what's now come is a gigantic gust of wind to blow him off it. And we can try and pull back some spending in a few places, but I was actually running through the spending this afternoon, and I honestly don't see where we can find meaningful for cuts from it, which means that we need to therefore go to the debt markets, raise our debt, which in of itself is bad. But to your point, you know, our bond rates, the long-term bonds are markedly more expensive than they were just 4 weeks ago when the budget happened. So it really is an absolute tightrope for them. But my sense is that, you know, you'd be rather err on, you know, let's stabilize. The economy is going to suffer and we'll fix that in time. The government's going to really take, and that's the message I'm getting from the president and the two speeches he's done so far, really is putting human life, you know, first and squarely in front. And it's going to be a case of, next how we can manage it. But the people in South Africa are going to need significant support as individuals, as small businesses. It's going to be an exceedingly tough 21 days. And before that, you know, it's not suddenly on day 22, everything's back to normal. You know, mine's shut down. There's a process and a time to start them back up. So even best case, it's sort of late April, and we've essentially then lost, you know, got 6-7 weeks of our economy.
So then explain, Rob, to me why we saw the big bounce on the JSE today. You're probably going to tell me it's because a large chunk of our market has earnings offshore, and we saw global markets rally, and commodities are getting a boost from this. But there are an awful lot of listed companies that rely on the South African economy.
Oh, you know, we've been sold down so aggressively in the last 2 weeks. You know, it's been unprecedented selling in our market, from especially futures close-up last week. Some of the moves in the stock market are just unbelievable. So I think that's a bit of a relief rally, along with money coming into the States. So you've seen a relief rally. You've probably seen some shorts covering into the market. I wouldn't take it as, you know, we've found a bottom, and I don't think we have. And I think that the bank's earnings are going to be interesting to see over the next 3 months, as the economy maybe starts to get going again after the three-week lockdown. So I think, you know, it's a relief rally. We've been definitely oversold. So, you know, in a market like this, you will get very big days up and down, and our volatility is going to continue. So, you know, it's a really brilliant, not more than that at the moment.
On that issue of this extreme volatility, Simon, and we really have seen some extreme volatility, VIX at levels that we haven't even seen during the global financial crisis, some regulators beginning to push for trading to be curtailed, fearing these swings in prices have really just become so disorderly and irrational that we can't cope, especially with depleted workforces, with heavy volumes. Is it time to close the markets? Do you think that's a wise move?
I don't. I know there were discussions about curtailing the hours of trade. I don't see the point in that. I think stopping and shutting the market is absolutely the worst idea. We are seeing extreme volatility. What I've been telling most people, if you're a long-term investor, your best advice is just stop looking. You know, stop. It's just going to, you know, cause you stress and not help in the least. But if we shut the market, and let's, you know, whether we shut it for a day, a week, a month, 3 weeks, whatever it is, if we shut the JSE down or any other global market, as soon as it reopens, we're going to see, you know, it's going to collapse, because firstly, you're going to want to price in all of that sort of price action that happened while you were closed. But the bigger issue is that people will suddenly like, well, hang on a second, if this market can close on a whim, then suddenly one day I might not be able to sell and get my cash out. Let me rather get my money now. So I think it's critically important that markets remain open. You know, I remember 87, the crash, they didn't open the next day. And I remember 9/11, New York didn't open, but that was because of proximity to the World Trade Center. Otherwise, it really is the role of the market to operate, to function. And the JSE has done a great job. The systems have held, the volumes have gone through, and the volatility is it's like I've never seen before. But it is a factor of what's out there. You're better off saying, actually, leave it open, let it trade. It'll find levels in time. It'll settle. But don't spook the world by saying you're closing.
Yeah, big bazookas like that really work. And Rob, I don't know what your thoughts on it are, but I'm reminded what the head of the New York Stock Exchange said about it not changing the underlying cause of the market decline. So why do it?
Yes, I mean, I don't agree that you must close markets at all. I think you need people to find out where the price is. I think that if you take the S&P 500 ETF, there's a S&P 500 ETF in every country with a stock exchange around the world. So when somebody sells, it's not just one person selling the S&P 500. It's millions of people around the world with identical portfolios. So you're starting to see the volatility with the amount of ETFs in the market with everybody with identical portfolio, and you see it across the board. So that volatility is going to continue. Maybe they can think of curbing ETFs slightly or size of ETFs. But definitely the market has to stay open.
Simon, the one theme that we've seen from companies at the moment on SENS is just withdrawing their outlook statements. It's very difficult, particularly in the commodity space. You can't give guidance in this kind of market, which makes it difficult for investors and for analysts to try and forecast what the E in the PE ratio is going to be, and the P as well, for that matter. And if you don't know what P and E are, well, then what do you know?
Market 100%. I mean, we've actually also seen the spate of dividends being delayed. They've been announced, they get delayed to later in the year, 6 months' time or something. I think that's prudent from the companies. I think it's prudent that they're honest with us and they're saying, we simply don't know. We don't know what it's going to look like, in a month, never mind in 6 months' time. And that does make, from an investor perspective, it makes it almost a lottery. And certainly, for me personally, I have not been buying individual equity in this market yet. And that's typically, I want to give it some time before I do, but I haven't been even considering individual equity. I've been buying ETFs. Get the basket, because the individual equity, and it's not even because necessarily they're going to go bankrupt. It's just we don't know what the next 1 or 2 years of earning profile from that company is. And if we don't know that, then suddenly there's questions around, well, what's their debt levels, what's the maturity ratio on that, their covenants, and then we just end up with a large number of questions and very, very few definitive answers. And that, that's the realm of casinos, not the realm of markets.
And we just get a note in that Fly Safe is closing temporarily as well due to the closure. So the first of the local airlines announcing that they'll be shuttering their doors for 21 days. Speaking of ETFs, Rob, we see the biggest exchange-traded fund tracking crude prices is seeing record inflows. Investors poured $765 million into the United States oil fund last week. That's according to Bloomberg. Does that mean that investors are trying to call the bottom in the oil market? Have we seen that kind of activity?
Possibly. Obviously, very low oil prices for some time now, and people are selling. The retail investor often sells a lot into that, and you'll start to see bigger houses start to pick up oil as the retail investors sell into weak oil. We have to wait to see what happens with Russia and Saudi. But if they did come to some type of agreement maybe at the end of May, you would see a bounce. So I think it's a bit early to start buying, but you're starting to see a flow. There's people trying to pick the bottom.
Yeah, and one thing, Simon, about where oil prices are at the moment below $30 a barrel is that as much as Saudi is profitable, it can't balance the books, and neither can many of the other OPEC members. So it is all about who's going to blink first. Probably a safe bet, if there was any safe bet in this market, with some margin of safety, with oil at the levels it's currently at.
I think you're right. I mean, initially they can balance their budget in Saudi Arabia here from their reserves that they've got above ground, and obviously they can pump more as well, and that can keep them going for a while. But that's not sustainable. That's not a long-term option at all. And at this point, it's very much them trying to sort of force Russia's hand, whether Russia ever capitulates, we'll see in time. But I do agree, probably not in the same sort of dramatic way as it happened last year, 2 weekends ago, sort of just a more sort of gradual slight turning off of the taps that will see that oil price go up. But ultimately, I'm looking at Brent at $27.42. That's frankly not sustainable for any oil-producing nation on the planet, which means that nothing else will start seeing other supply drop out. And that in itself will push the price. Even Saudi Arabia doesn't take their foot off their battle with Russia.
Even at the Rand 17.63 to the dollar, we should see a nice chunky drop in that petrol pump price if it stays at that level for any length of time. Not that it's going to help you, because you're not going to be driving anywhere for the next 21 days. That's Simon Brown, founder of Just One Lamp, and Rob Tarwell, portfolio manager at Sasfin Securities, with your view from the market.